You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, there's been so much talk about the United States, but we cannot forget the United Kingdom. So I'm really pleased to have back on the show this morning my friend Sunil Sharma. Welcome, Sunil. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Simon. How are things with you?
Doing very, very well. We're spring heading into summer here. It's just gorgeous. But obviously, huge focus on Trump and the Republicans' win, and I'd love to come to that later in the chat around what's happening in the UK. But since we last chatted, the Conservatives have elected or selected Kemi Badenoch to be the new Conservative leader. I just wonder if you wanted to give us some impressions of, well, a little bit of a refresher about her, but also are the Conservatives now fully focused on taking on their opposition role? Are they firmly united and ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a massive shock to see Kemi Badenoch win the leadership race. She's been a member's favourite for the Conservative Party for quite some time. So, listeners may remember the leadership race we had about 2 years ago with Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak, which Liz ultimately won. In the previous rounds, Kemi Badenoch was one of the leadership candidates. Then she didn't make it to the final two. And in the UK, the final two, when you make it to the final two, it goes down to the Conservative members, so the ordinary poll members. And it was well documented then, had she made it to the final two, she would likely have been the winner. This time, she did make it to the final two, so it wasn't a massive shock to see her win. And one of the main reasons for her massive popularity, I think, within the Conservative Party, she has, you know, reasonably conservative views, which isn't always the case, especially in the UK. We haven't really seen a massive, a true blue or a real conservative part of the party for quite some time. So it's just a very short stint, which didn't last very long. So she's seen very much as an anti-woke warrior, somebody who doesn't identify much with the left at all, somebody who was really went against critical race theory early on. And so she's been, in terms of the culture wars, very, very popular amongst the Conservative Party, as somebody really taking on the BBC and taking on, a general liberalism within the UK and even within the Conservative Party. So that's the kind of where Kemi stance is. She's also being quite critical of the LGBT movement and saying it's attacking women's rights. So she's been somebody who's, on the culture side, been very strong conservative. There's some question marks over some of her economic policies and even when it comes to immigration. But as a starting place, there's definitely some conservatism that she seems very much embedded in.
So has she hit the ground running as such? You know, is there a lot of buzz and excitement, or is it slightly more muted? Right? Because down here, we haven't really heard much about her other than being selected. And to be fair, Sunil, the American elections have distracted so many people. But yeah, is there sort of a buzz and an excitement within the Conservatives and any worry within the Labour side?
I think so far, not really. I think, as you rightly said, the US election, I think, really took away some of the momentum of the US election. Was massively covered here in the UK. And it's been what talked about somewhat the Labour. Some of the Labour cabinet team have said about Trump, for example, that's really been the highlight. I think it's gone kind of under the radar. The other thing with Kemi is, you know, in terms of we're talking profile, I think unless you're a Conservative Party member or somebody who knows somebody who's reasoning into politics, you probably won't know who she is. Or she's not hasn't got necessarily a big name, maybe like some of the other candidates may have had. And also, she's been setting up her cabinet. So her cabinet's only just been issued. So there's always that kind of what her team's going to be like, if you like. And she's only recently, really, well, only a few days ago, she's actually told us her team. So it's not been, if you like, massively covered in the news. I'm sure she'll be hoping in the next few months that will change. But as of now, I'd say in terms of her profile, it's not been as big as maybe people would have liked and expected. But, you know, we are talking very, very early days in her defense.
Quick question on that. Is she Is it Jenrik? That was the number two, wasn't it? Or rather, her competitor. Has he been given any role, or has he turned it down, or what's happening there?
He has been given a role. So he's been given Shadow Justice Secretary, which I think is a really good role for him. He's clearly a very good communicator. He's got some really good charisma about him. So I think that's something that the party will be very happy with. And I think it's good to keep him on the team. Surprisingly, your friend Tom Tugendhat has got a cabinet position. That's been totally honest, I think that's probably been the biggest talking point. A lot of people saw him as obviously shoo-in for, if you like, Home Secretary or even Defence Secretary in particular. And so it's interesting to see him not have a role in this administration, which I think most people presumed he would. Aside from that, there's not been too many talking points from her cabinet. It seems a very steady, strong cabinet. She's got some experience with Priti Patel as foreign secretary within there. But nothing really, I'd say, that's really shaken things up with her cabinet appointments. I think the big one is not having Tom there, which I'm sure will be talked about in the coming
years. Well, I was very surprised to see Tom miss out, but you know, having been in politics, there are funny things which often happen in behind closed doors. But jumping across the ditch, we can't avoid it, Sunil, which is the American elections. I mean, what's the, speaking on behalf of all the United Kingdom, what's your take on how's the United Kingdom, or certainly the Labour government, taking it? I know James Cleverly, for example, certainly made statements in the past about Trump and so forth. But yeah, what's been the general feeling and reaction?
I think Trump is a really interesting one for us in the UK. He is nowhere near as popular as he is in the US than he is in the UK. And for a lot of, you know, we've seen a lot of polling, a lot of stats showing that even amongst the Conservative Party, which is surprising. I think there's been a lot of people within even the Conservative Party who secretly are fans of Trump, but have not had the courage to come out and say. You've got to remember, the UK, we do have a bit more, I don't know the word, we're a bit more, we value the speaking well. We don't like so much the brash nature of people, that politeness, which Trump doesn't necessarily always show. So I think that's always something that Brits in general, and I'm generalizing us here, but we don't necessarily like as much. But there's plenty of people I know, I can speak for myself and other Conservative members, who are massive fans of Trump and who are really happy to see him in power. And I think I would go as far as saying Trump winning in the States is probably something that's worried the Labour Party more than Kemi Badenoch becoming the party leader. I think it's really worried them to the extent that a more conservative leader, an anti-woke person, somebody who stands up for common sense principles, has been able to win the way he did in America. And I think for them, they'll be maybe looking at this and being a bit worried if something similar happened in the UK. It also puts them in a really, really tricky situation. We've got David Lammy, the foreign secretary, who called Trump a neo-Nazi. You've got Andrew Arena, who said, you know, we shouldn't welcome him into this country as a deputy prime minister. You could pretty much go for any high-profile current Labour minister, and they will have said something pretty horrible about Donald Trump in the last 4 years. So I think it's a very awkward situation for a lot of them when that initial state visit does happen with Trump coming to the UK. It's also even more testing because of the fact that we've left the European Union. And one of the big reasons, and one of the big things that a lot of us in the UK were really happy about, is the potential to build closer ties with America. I've always talked about the special relationship that America and the UK have. Trump was very close with Boris Johnson. That's very well documented. And that was very popular in the UK to see that kind of close ties. So I think the Trump win is a much bigger concern for the Labour Party right now than Kemi Badenoch, Robert Jenrick, the Conservative Party in the UK. It seems almost as if the Trump administration, Elon Musk's another one, they're the ones who have pulled out Keir Starmer the most and the highest profile. Elon Musk has been very critical of Keir Starmer, and it's not gone unnoticed in the UK. And the fact that he seems to be playing a very key role in the Trump administration again is going to be a massive concern for Labour. So I think in the UK, it's dominated news. A lot of people were really surprised about the result, which is, again, I don't think many people within the Conservative Party were surprised, but if you went on mainstream media, I don't think anyone remotely predicted this. An interesting space, an interesting moment in UK politics. It's amazing how much impact Trump's going to really have there right now.
Yeah, a little bit similar here. I mean, granted, we've got a centre-right party in play, but even the nervousness around the Trump win is certainly present for the current government. It's, you know, whether he's going to exact greater tariffs or more defence spending, which they feel they can't afford. Certainly our Labour Party, the left wing and our media have reacted with shock, but also worry, because as you say, if you were to really simplify what happened in the elections, it was a real rejection of that sort of woke far left ideology. Phenomenal change. And I was wrong to mention James Cleverly. I'm so stuck in the past. That was the former Foreign Secretary. So yeah, Lammy, I was thinking of in terms of his tweets and so forth. Because Trump doesn't forget, does he?
Well, I mean, the thing with Lammy is he's a really interesting character. He's somebody who has, Lammy, even I find this tough to say now, but Lammy maybe 10, 15 years ago was somebody who was a real, had some elements of common sense. He was very anti, sort of stuff on critical race theory. He talked a lot about how Caribbean men in the UK are abandoning children, how that has a massive impact on their social status in the UK, their financial impacts, some very basic sort of stuff, the importance of family, nature. This was, was highlighted in the Lammy report. Fast forward 2022, 23, 24, this is somebody who is, somebody who has demanded the UK pay back slavery reparations. It's somebody who is almost basically worn the Black Lives Matter t-shirt for the last 2-3 years. Somebody who called Trump a neo-Nazi, somebody who's been, he's gone totally on the other side when it comes to all these social issues. So it's going to be a really interesting conversation when Trump does finally address the UK properly. Lots of people are saying that will Lammy have to resign, the US is probably, will be for the foreseeable future, the UK's biggest, most important partner, even more so the fact that we're not in the EU. So it's a really tricky situation for Sir Starmer and the Labour Party.
Well, just quickly for you, I mean, is the trade element of concern to the United Kingdom? As I say, in New Zealand, there's already worry about the tariff discussions and whether that 10 or 20% tariffs will apply to us. Is that something being discussed in the UK, or do you think that special relationship is such that it's not really going to be an issue?
Trade-wise, it's not been really discussed in the UK. I'm sure it will be. I think the news cycle is really loving the awkwardness, if you like, between the inevitable awkwardness between Labour and the Trump administration. I think that's really dominating the news in terms of, even before we talk about trade and tariffs, you've got a party that has really gone really heavy and strong against the Trump administration the first term, and then again when the election was divided, and then again with this election just now. And that is, I think, something that they are really enjoying at the moment, the news cycle, in terms of what even the conversation would look like when Sir Keir Starmer, David Lammy have these meetings with the US. What will they look like, and what will they even begin the conversation with? And the other thing with trade, the highlight, the other reason it's not being talked about a lot, Sir Keir Starmer was recently in Europe, talking to your European counterparts. He's spent Armistice Day in France just now with Macron. So it hasn't really been like an in-depth evaluation of the UK-US relationship. It's been more on a very sort of surface, high level. And what does this actually, how does that first conversation start with the UK and US, and where do they really go from there? Because it's going to be a a strange kind of conversation. Because, like I said, Elon Musk, you know, we've joked about it a lot in the UK that he's been the greatest he's been the greatest opposition to Keir Starmer so far, in Richard Sentence, the leader of the Conservative Party. And he's been, you know, relentless in calling Keir Starmer two-tier Keir. He's made jokes like that. He's, you know, regularly he's on Joe Rogan's podcast talking about how bad the criminal system is now under Keir Starmer. He's been talking about the riots in the UK. He's been really critical of this Labour government. So the fact that he's clearly playing a massive part in the Trump administration, it's almost a soap opera drama element to it right now, before we even start on Reagan and Lewis.
Oh, it's going to be fascinating to watch for all our respective countries, I think. But, you know, a big part of it is personalities are going to play a big, big part. And perhaps like yourself, Sunil, it would be fascinating to be in the room when either Keir or Trump call each other to have that first chat. But I better let you get back to your day or evening. But look, really grateful for you taking the chance to call in and give us a quick update, and look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah. Thank you, Simon. And yeah, have a great rest of the day.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.